technology, it's advancing. We have computers in our phones, in our pockets. So where are we going with all of this advancement in technology? Is it going to be a bright future with AI, or is it going to be our disaster, our doom? Are we going to become slaves to AI? That's something that everybody fears. Are we going to become slaves to AI? That's what the horror movies tend to predict, or the horror TV shows about AI. But we'll just have to see what waits for us with all of that. But last week, I was watching Elon Musk's presentation about Neuralink. I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk. All of the things he's been accomplishing is just amazing. And I want to be just like him when I grow up. I'm just playing. But yeah, I watched his presentation about Neuralink. And if you don't know what Neuralink is, it's pretty much a little device that you get to put on your skull. And that little device is going to be able to detect brain motion and that kind of stuff. I'm not a neuroscientist, so I really can't talk much about it. But Elon Musk said that the goal is to solve important brain and spine problems with a seamlessly implanted device. So Elon Musk first starts by giving us a presentation of the first prototype of Neuralink. And it was pretty much a device that you put on behind your ear. Then it has these three strings attached to it. And those three strings go on top of your head. And apparently it would read the brain. But now they were able to achieve an even smaller prototype, the size like a size of a coin, which it would be implanted by a robot. So a robot, it would be robotic surgery, the thing that would be implanting it on your brain. And it, according to Elon Musk, that would be a safe procedure that you don't even need anesthesia for, and it's also going to be fast. So it's going to be no more than 1 hour, and you wouldn't even notice it, you wouldn't feel the pain of this, according to Elon Musk. And a very important thing that it's irreversible, which if you don't want it anymore, you'll be able to take it off and you have no brain effects or anything like that. You will still be normal with or without it. So they did an experiment on three pigs. So one pig didn't have the Neuralink. The second pig did have the Neuralink. And then the third pig before it had the Neuralink, but then 2 months later they took off the Neuralink, and then these pigs were to demonstrate that there really is no difference if you have it or don't have it. You're still going to be the same person, or for them the same pig. They found no effects on it, which was really amazing. And now they're hoping that they're able to test the product with human beings, but I think it's going to be a while for that. I'm not sure if a human would be willing to have a robotic surgery, just some robot picking a hole on your skull and then placing the Neuralink. But all of this is very amazing. According to Elon Musk and Neuralink, all of this would be able to help humans, and if they have a disability or they have any brain problem. So for example, Neuralink is supposed to, if you are handicapped, it's going to be able to help you hopefully achieve you to work to not be handicapped. Or it could also help you control your computer with just your thoughts, and that's actually pretty cool. With all of this being so advanced, and pretty sure it's great, there are problems to arise to the whole Neuralink. What if you're able to? What if you're hacked? What if somebody is able to hack your Neuralink, and then what then? Are they going to be able to see your thoughts, memories? Or what about not having privacy? That's another problem. Imagine if the government decides to get involved in that, and later, you know how the government is. They later force the companies to release information from you. And even companies could even sell information, just like when Google and Facebook were selling people's information. That's something that's had happened too. So what if Neuralink is able to sell your information to other companies in order to sell things? So you will have no privacy. Well, that's what I think. You won't be having privacy. And then the government might act like the thought police, so you really have no freedom anymore thinking. It's like today's world having freedom of speech. It's becoming a little bit more. It's under threat, so you really can't say many things as you were able to say in the past. People, I guess, are more sensitive nowadays. Now imagine a world where you're not even supposed to think negative things. Well, not negative things, but whatever you want that the government controls. So that's something we should really be considering. And the final thing is, like, would it interfere with your free will? So imagine getting hacked by somebody and then you're able to act according to the other person's wishes and not yours. So it would interfere with your free will. And then who would be responsible for that? Would you be responsible since you were the one that did the action, or the other person that controlled you? So it really brings up a lot of problems. And I'm pretty sure Elon Musk has considered these problems and is probably working towards those, to fixing those problems or making this product safe. But I don't know what to think about it. I don't know. Is this what Christians talk about the whole time? Like the mark of the beast? Would this be a representative of the mark of the beast? I really don't know. And for sure, I'm not getting one. That's one thing. But who knows? Maybe in the future, we're gonna need it. Which brings up to the question about our relationship with AI in the future. What is it going to be like? In the book, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream by Harlan Ellison, published in 1967, he gives us a perspective about AI and human relations, which they are not good. It's pretty much like a horror story of AI. So the book starts by the three superpowers, China, US, and Russia, that they go into a war. This is during the Cold War. They go into a war, and then there's still humans, but majority of them are already dead. So what they do is that they create this, all three of them separately create supercomputers on the ground. And they keep advancing them, they keep working on them until the computer is able to, the computer evolves to become self-aware. And little did they know was that the computer became supreme to its creator, and the computer hates humans. It develops this hatred towards human for how it created them. So these three computers later merge from their advancement, and then since the computers hate humans, then they later destroy all life on Earth except for five humans who the AI takes as its prisoners. And the sad part about them is that they're immortal, so they can't die. Well, that's what the... Not because they aren't able to be killed, but because the computer is keeping them alive. So whenever the computer chooses to do with them, that's what they're going to experience. So the computer brings these five humans to its location, which is located on the core of the Earth. And then with no escape, even if they tried to escape, they wouldn't, because it's full of mazes and stuff like that. They're trapped. And the computer receives pleasure in torturing these five humans, which really it's kind of disturbing knowing what the computer's intentions are in the book. If you ever read it, you'll understand more of what I'm saying. But what the computer does to them is that it messes up their psychological motions. Their brains, they even turn into madness, all of these five humans. And then the computer also messes with their physical aspects. For one character of the book is pretty much like half pig, half human, or something like that, or half gorilla, half human. So it's really like, it's very disturbing what it does. And they can't die. So the computer, for the humans, in order to not die from hunger, the computer pretty much, at the point when it sees that these humans are at the brink of just almost dying, what it does is that it gives them like nutrients so that they don't die, but still doesn't satisfy their hunger. And then the computer later makes up this story that supposedly there's this last can of food available, and all they had to do is find it. So then these five humans go into a journey to go find the last food can. And when they, at the end, when they find it, supposedly, they the problem was that they didn't have a tool to open it. So out of frustration and anger and hunger, one of the characters decides to smack it everywhere, but it's not able to open it. So then, at the end, what these humans do, well, one of the characters, Ted, decides to do is team up with another character, which was his female, and they start killing the other four. I mean, the other three. They start killing them, and then at the end, Ted kills Emma. But that was the worst, not the worst decision, but it's one of the worst things that could happen to Ted. Because just imagine not escaping this torture of the AI, of the computer, and you're just on its will, and you wish for freedom, but you know that the only way for freedom is death. So you even prey on being killed, or in order to escape all of this. But apparently there was only, since it was five characters, it was going to be obvious that only one of them was going to be a survivor. And you just imagine being in their position. Just imagine being there. And the only escape is death. That's like a relief to you. Like, at least I got to escape all this torture. But apparently it didn't go well for Ted. The computer got really mad at the humans. That what the computer decides to do to Ted is to turn him to a slimy, worm-looking thing with limited mobility, and that it has no mouth, and it's blind. So at the end of the story, that's how it ends, by Ted being turned to that, which comes to the title of the book, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. So Ted is pretty much by himself. So I guess his greatest torture is being blind and having no mouth. Only the things that he has is his thoughts, his mind. So everything, he really has no way of expressing himself. And that's really a scary turnout of the book, which I really recommend that you read. Remember, it was published in 1967, so we really have a whole history with all of this AI stuff. Harlem Ellison gives us a horror perspective about AI, but video games have also given us a perspective like the games Deus Ex and Metal Gear Solid 2. These games raised a very important question. Are human beings too incompetent that they require an AI to govern them? Both of these games have similarities. They both have secret societies that secretly control the world, and AI is something that has power on human beings. But Deus Ex takes it a little bit more further than Metal Gear by having the AI argue that they would be a sufficient replacement for God. So first I want to explain what Metal Gear Solid 2, just a little brief summary of the game. So you play as the second part, you play as a man named Raiden, and his mission is to rescue the president and rescue the hostages and avoid a nuclear attack. So he's on his mission. And then later when he gets to the point where he gets to know the location of the president starts giving him information about reality and what's going on. And little did Raiden know was that the president was voluntarily working with terrorists. So the president got kidnapped by terrorists, and his mission was, of course, to save him from these terrorists. But when he got to meet him, he later found out that he was voluntarily working with the terrorists. And the reason he was working with the terrorists was because he didn't want to be a pawn anymore from this secret society. He wanted to rebel against them. He wanted to free the world. And during the mission, you have this colonel that gives you instructions on what to do. But then at the end, you find out that it's actually an AI. It's not a human who's giving you instructions. And then, of course, at the end, you find out what's really going on. The whole kidnap of the president was a smokescreen for what was truly going on. And it was there was an arsenal underneath the water. And that's what the whole point was, for it to start mass producing this type of machine to take control of the world. But the most profound moment in that game was when your final codec call with the colonel. So at the end, you find out that it was actually an AI giving you commands. And then the AI pretty much gives you a explanation of why they're more efficient than human. And it starts talking about fake news, political correctness being our weaknesses, that we don't like hurting other people, so we're not going to tell them the truth. And even if it's necessary to know the truth, the AI argues that humans aren't capable of doing that. And then in the game Deus Ex, it pretty much has the same perspective of Metal Gear. They pretty much have similarities, like I already mentioned. But Deus Ex, the whole plot is pretty much a worldwide virus takes over. But it was created by a secret society in order to control human population and have humans later beg to them for help without them knowing. And then that's when they get control over them, because we created this virus and now you're going to come to us for help. You're going to pray pretty much to us. And later you play as the main character is called JC Denton. This is pretty much the inspiration of my name of the podcast, JC. It was inspired by that character. So now if you were wondering, why does he call himself JC if his name's not even JC? Well, this is why, because of this game. Well, the story starts by supposedly a terrorist organization destroying the Statue of Liberty and then stealing vaccine shipments from cargo ships in order to give it to the less fortunate, the poor people. And later you find out that the bad ones were actually the government, since the government plotted all of this terrorist attack to make the people believe that the terrorists are the evil ones and not them. So you can see how the news spins, how fake news spins, and we end up believing things that aren't actually there, but what's for the narrative, that's what we need end up believing. So towards the end of the mission, you later having a conversation with an AI, and the AI also argues the same thing, that human beings aren't capable of handling all of this. That AI is more inferior to the human being, because human beings are not able to make the hard decisions. Imagine being the president or someone powerful from any country, and you have nukes. And let's say you were being attacked, would you have the will to press the nuclear button and destroy all life on Earth? And that's something that, unfortunately, human beings won't be able to do it. Because why? Because human beings are more compassionate. They think about the other side. But AI is not compassionate. AI does what is true. That's the quote-unquote the right thing to do at that moment. So it gives an argument for AI, why they're better than humans. And that's pretty much what the games are all about, both of these games. I'm not going to go really into detail what it is, but you get the idea that these arguments give us a future that AI is actually better. And how the game Deus Ex ends is that it has three alternative endings. The first ending is that you merge with the AI computer. So the main character, JC Denton, is able to merge with the computer to better govern society. The second option is that you give it back to the secret society, so you let the secret society take back control to hopefully govern the humanity to a better future. Or you have your third option, which is that you could destroy the whole system, the whole computer and everything, and go back to the Dark Ages. So there would be, so you would start from ground zeros again. And unfortunately, that would be like the economy, restarting the economy, restarting knowledge, restarting everything. And that's something that I've been wondering about. If I was in that position, what would I do? I mean, I did choose one of the endings, but I still wonder, what if it was in real life? What would I choose? Would I give the whole power of the world to an AI? Would I give it back to a small group of human beings, a secret society that hopefully they will be able to guide humanity to a better future? Or would I start from zero again, from scratch, and hopefully we could make this new society better? But you get the idea of AI, how these games have predicted that it's really our downfall if they are able to become a reality. And they're slowly starting to become a reality. You just go to Walmart and you can see that AI is slowly taking in charge of people's jobs. You can see that you could self-check out your own things. So that's just the start. Now, what would be in the future? And we also had to consider if we're going to survive the future, and if potentially if AI could actually help us survive the future, make us more competent with technology. So would you be willing to be augmented? Let's say that a robot was efficient in doing one job, but if you were to obtain augmentation, would you be able to perform that job better than the AI? So these are things that are really worth considering about, because our future, the future is not far from us when it comes to AI. And especially if most of us, since most of us I believe are going to have kids in the future, what kind of world do you want them to live in? Do you want them to be prepared for this AI? I know that with the rise of technology like tablets, computers, phones, we have become more distracted and unaware of what's really happening, and perhaps we're becoming incompetent, that we don't want to do, or we don't have the skills to do certain jobs, and we believe that everything should be given to us despite not having the skills. And perhaps that's going to be our downfall too, that AI is going to be more superior to us for our incompetence, for our lack of not doing or having knowledge of things. So what would you choose? What endings would you choose towards this game? Would you give the power to the AI? Would you give it to a small group of elite secret societies? Or would you just start from ground zeros?